If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. It is IGN's weekly Xbox show. We are getting closer and closer to the Xbox Bethesda Game Showcase, but for now, it's episode 596 of IGN's weekly Xbox show for May 23rd, 2023. I'm Ryan McCaffrey here in IGN's San Francisco studio, and it's a two-person show today, which I like doing these from time to time because we could just go back and forth, and there's nobody in our ear trying to chime in, Destin. No, we wish Destin the best. He had a civil obligation today to jury service. So thank you for that, Destin. And we will see you back next week. Miranda Sanchez is here. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. I'm back. It's been a while.
You have been a resident of Hyrule for the last while.
I don't even know how long it's been. How many days it's been.
Is this to you, this is the fictional world, right? Hyrule's your where you live.
Yeah, let me tell you, I can tell you where to find the hardy salmon. I know where they live. I've hunted them many times. I've run out of so many arrows. Basically, I've been working on like our cooking guide and our shrine guides and like just a bunch of different things. And that's just been my entire brain, which is a lot.
Arguably the sandboxiest sandbox game in a while, right? Yeah. For all the open world games we get, there's so much you can do in Tears of the Kingdom. I've barely played it so far because I'm still working through Jedi Survivor, which itself is a meaty, awesome game. I mean, nowhere near the 100+ hours that Tears of the Kingdom is and can be. But yeah, I've got about, let's see, 9 days to finish Jedi Survivor before I will be living in Sanctuary in Diablo 4 on my Series X as soon as that arrives.
I'm very excited for that. I've basically already got to sit down with all my friends. We got to make our snack plan.
We got to
get our plans together as far as like, when are we playing? When will you need to be done by chapter one? Like, what's the schedule? So that way we can all coordinate our timing so we can all play together. Because like our goal is to play the whole campaign together.
That is a great goal. I have so many great memories of specifically Diablo 2. Of course, that was far enough ago where there was Battle.net, I guess you could play, but we would do weekend LAN parties and drag the entire computer with the CRT monitor, load the whole thing in the car, go over to a buddy's house and just play all night. And you just that adventuring together and sort of being at the same, roughly the same level, you know, so you're all kind of at the same character progression. It's a fun feeling.
Do you know for certain which character you're going to build first?
Oh, yeah. I'm Barbarian all the way.
I was going to ask, has Barbarian shaken at all? Is your faith changed?
No.
Okay.
Not since Diablo 1.
All right.
Like, that's how hardcore I've been on hashtag Team Barbarian.
Dang.
It's, I played, my first Diablo character in Diablo 1 was a rogue.
Okay.
Had a great time with her. That was, it was just fun to, you know, just get the best bow and arrow you can.
and take down the butcher, have the fun. But then in the Diablo 1 expansion pack, which was Hellfire, I think. Gosh, my memory's not working too well. Lords of Destruction was Diablo 2's expansion. Anyway, they added a barbarian in the Diablo 1 expansion, and I've never looked back.
Wow.
From there.
Impressive.
Yeah. I just like smashing things. I like DPS. I just want to cause as much physical damage as possible. I don't mess around with spells too much. Yeah.
I just like skeletons.
Yeah. Hashtag Team Necromancer.
Yeah.
You're rocking it today.
I've got skeletons on my jacket. It's like one of my favorites.
Some people have skeletons in their closet. You have them on your jacket.
I do have one in my office as well.
That's true. I've seen it on camera.
In my body.
I should hope so. Otherwise, you'd just be a blob of flesh.
That's one of my favorite fun fact reminders of life is like, did you know you have a skeleton with you the whole time? Every day? Incredible.
It's
so spooky.
I am old enough to remember The Far Side, one of my favorite comic strips ever. Mm-hmm. And you just reminded me of one of my favorite Far Sides ever, which is just, it's a picture of the front of a farm, like a ranch, and there's a little picket fence in front, and the sign says Boneless Chicken Ranch. It's a bunch of chickens just flopped laying around because they have no bones.
Oh, no.
And it cracks me up just even thinking about it. Google that one. Far Side Boneless Chicken Ranch. It's good times.
Oh,
Gary
perfect.
Larson. There it is, perfect. Our super producer, Red, for those of you watching on video. Yeah, it is. I mean, how good is that? That is so good. Thank you, Gary Larson, for years of great comic strips. All right, let's get back to video games. I do want to mention we're awash, as you've talked about, Miranda, with all these just not just blockbuster games, but like the highest caliber of blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Between Zelda, you know, mainline top shelf Zelda. I mean, even like Link's Awakening is like B-tier Zelda, and I don't say that insultingly, right? It's, you know, Tears of the Kingdom is the cream of the crop.
Top of the shelf.
Yeah. Star Wars, a AAA Star Wars game from Respawn, which again, I'm adoring, and all the reviews were great. Everybody's loving that. We have, again, Diablo 4 coming up, which has been 10 years? Oh my god, it is? That's right, it was 2013.
Whoa, okay, yeah.
So, wow, I didn't realize it was 10 years from Diablo 3 to Diablo 4. So anyway, it can be easy for games for games that aren't at that, on that, the top shelf of the bar to be overlooked. And one of those came out this week, and it's, by all accounts, very good. I really want to somehow find time to play this. Star Trek Resurgence. Mm. Are you a Trek person at all, Miranda?
I am not. I was raised on Star Wars and Star Wars alone.
Fair enough. I'm a Next Generation Star Trek fan. Picard has me feeling good about Star Trek, that this last season stuck the landing, finally, the third and final attempt. And Star Trek Resurgence is out. We gave it a 7, which may sound like, oh, 7, well, whatever. But read the review on IGN or watch it. It is a Telltale-style Star Trek adventure game. You know, all choice-driven, dialogue-driven, made by a bunch of ex-Telltale developers. So if you are looking for maybe like a palate cleanser, a smaller game between these bigger games, our reviewer says it's around 10 to 12 hours. And it really, our reviewer said it nails Star Trek very well, meaning it is about making moral choices, and it's about a sort of diplomacy and dialogue driven stuff. So good stuff from, I'm blanking on the developer's name right now, but a bunch of ex-Telltale folks, Star Trek Resurgence, check that out. And then Planet of Lana. Have you seen that? That seems like more of a Miranda game.
That's one of the games that I would like to play someday.
Yeah, that one's also out now, too. And I played that at GDC this year briefly, like a 15-20 minute quick hands-on. But if you like Playdead style games, the, you know, Insides, the Limbos of the world, this is... thank you, Red. We've got footage of it up now. It looks beautiful. The music's beautiful. And I had a good time playing the brief little bit of this. So here's another one that I want to try and get to at some point.
Side-scrolling adventures platformer.
Yeah.
With a little bud. Which I always like when you have a little buddy with you.
It's always a plus.
That's what I want.
So a couple of smaller things to keep your eye on if you either need a break or just want to add them to your backlog, which I'm sure is the backlog's getting longer by the day.
Every day. Yep.
All right. Let's get started. The sort of big news this week, Mortal Kombat 12 is official, except it's not Mortal Kombat 12. Help me make it make sense, Miranda. Why is it Mortal Kombat 1?
It's old is new again. Again. Always. Because that's what people are doing these days. I don't know. I think they should just drop the number and do something else. Like, we got to figure out some sort of new system for these. Because it's not... like, people really care about this, like, story order? I mean, people do, but I think for Mortal Kombat in particular, it's so pick up and go. And I think that's what they're trying to say here, too, with, like, the one. It's like, you can come in. Anyone can come in. It's like, listen, I knew I could come in at any time because people of age can participate in the gore you offer. So
what was this game is rated M for mature.
Not anyone. but
you'll have like the parents council calling for your job. Wow, she advocated that anybody can play Mortal Kombat. No.
Listen, yeah, it's like it's to every parent's own decision on when their child is ready for Mortal Kombat.
I played Mortal Kombat well before I was 17 years old.
It's like, listen, arcades, do you think they had like someone standing there, like looking who went up to machines and hey.
I'm going to need to see some ID, son.
Yeah. So I think with that, it's one of those games anyone can jump into. Like, I don't know much about the story. I kind of know some bits of it, like some basic lore. I just go in there to go give an ass kicking and also get my ass kicked because I'm not very good at the combos. Multiplayer, but it's still fun to try.
Yeah.
So I just all of a sudden said, I'm excited. Mortal Kombat 1, though. I also don't understand, but you know what? I accept it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it is. You're right. It's such a weird and interesting choice to go with one instead of just Mortal Kombat, like just a straight, like, I'm sure that was considered. And I wish that conversation at NetherRealm and probably the marketing team was involved had been recorded for public consumption, because I just would like to have known, like, how did they arrive at that?
Yeah, the SEO for this is just going to be weird, is all I can say.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it was an SEO decision, because if you just Google Mortal Kombat, maybe it's not going to bring up necessarily this game, new thing. It's going to pull up all kinds of Mortal, the movie, the old games. It could, maybe that's it. I think you may have just figured it out.
I think, but that also bothers me, because if people are looking up Mortal Kombat 1, do you have to look up Mortal Kombat Original? It's like Xbox One all over again. The first Xbox versus Xbox One.
I know. Yeah, that's true. There is that
piece.
It's
fine. It's our own, that's our problem to solve.
Now, that said, the trailer that Red just had playing, I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. It's really good. It's all, obviously, there's no gameplay. It's all cinematic CG stuff. But there's so many, like, squishy people getting exploded and...
I actually haven't seen it yet, and I'm sad. I mean, oh, yay!
This will never... Mortal Kombat will never not be amusing and hilarious to me. I'm not laughing at it. It is absolutely laughing with it. Yeah, yeah. It is great.
I don't know what it is, but Mortal Kombat just does gore right. Like, gore...
like, it's...
I know gore can make people really uncomfortable. I absolutely get that. It's a little disturbing to see people's insides, right?
Sure.
I don't want to see real people's insides, but Mortal Kombat insides, that's fine. It's different, right? Look. Your blood particles are different. It's fine. It's funny.
They're so... they've struck that balance between... it's not realistic, even though the people kind of look, you know, they look fairly realistic, but they're so like comically squishy.
Yeah.
That they just, you know, it's like they're just blood balloons.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. You literally stole that from my brain. I was like, it's just like they're popping balloons full of blood. Yeah. It's just squishy bags of white pieces and red liquid. It's fine.
Right.
And it's just hilarious because they just get absolutely wrecked and it looks so cool. They just do it right.
So Mortal Kombat 12, officially Mortal Kombat 1. And Miranda, we got a release date as well, as had previously been rumored, September 19th. next gen only, which it does seem like, not 100%, but it feels like, Miranda, we're reaching that point now here, starting in the back half of 2023 and then moving mm-hmm. into 2024 and beyond, that the Xbox One is done. There's still some third-party games certainly coming out for it, but it does seem like we're moving on to the new generation
yep.
for real now.
It seems like with a lot of the supply issues kind of being resolved, there's just been more of a push. I think also tech-wise,
yeah.
I'm sure resource-wise, having to develop for both systems is just a huge lift, and now they can just focus on the new and put all of their resources toward that, and hopefully folks can get their hands on the console of their choice and be able to get these new games. But I haven't touched my older Xboxes in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we do come from a place of privilege in that.
That's true.
We do have access to these new systems through work sometimes.
And backwards games. Compatibility and these updates that we get to the performance boosts and that kind of thing. You know, Xbox really, they make it as easy as possible to go ahead and put your Xbox One away forever. And,
yeah.
You can still play anything you want from the Xbox One on your Series X, and often it'll play better,
mm-hmm.
which is how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you, Microsoft, for doing that right. Miranda, when this is such a short window here, we've got Mortal Kombat 1 announced in May.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in September. That's 4 months. Mortal Kombat's huge. Not every game can get away with a four-month PR and marketing campaign from announcement to release. Mortal Kombat's massive. Can you think of when was the last time that we got a big game that had this short of a window? Because for me, this doesn't affect anyone listening, watching, really. It's really a Ryan problem. I'm the previews editor at IGN.
Oh, yeah.
It's my job. Anything that hasn't come out yet, it's my job to make sure IGN's covering that in some way, shape, or form in a way that best serves our audience. And so the fact that I only have 4 months before I pass the baton to Dan Stapleton and Tom Marks, and we get the game reviewed, and then the baton passes to you and your team, the Wiki and Gameplay Help Team. So this is kind of a nightmare for me, personally, trying to get as much cool coverage for the IGN audience in 4 months as I can. But I'm racking my brain. There's only one game that comes to mind for me that had this short of a window, but I don't want to say it because I want to see if... I don't want to ruin your train of thought if you've got any that are coming to mind.
I do not. And I feel like I know, like there's one on the tip of my tongue because I remember something being a quick turnaround. And I was like, I love this. This is great. Like, how dare you? But also, this is great. I'm excited for it. Wait, what is it?
Fallout 4.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
I was like, it's Bethesda.
Which is going back a while. I mean, that's 2015. That's 8 years ago. At this point,
I was like, it was something that happened while I was here, because I remember being at like E3 or somewhere, and I was like, wow, that's soon. That rules.
Yeah.
And then being like, dang, now we got to cover it.
Yeah. They officially announced it right before E3, then did that big gameplay demo at E3, and then it was out in either October or November of that year. So it was roughly. Well, actually, so I guess it was still longer than Mortal Kombat 12's. This is the shortest one, again, of a big blockbuster AAA caliber game that I can think of.
Yeah.
In modern times.
I think it's rather exciting. And as you said, too, it's not like Mortal Kombat needs time to like, hey, you guys remember this old game? It's like, of course. Like, the prestige is there. Like, we're going to... There's no question about like us picking it up, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, of course. We're just waiting for it.
Yeah, perfect. The decision, I guess the marketing and PR decisions with this largely amount to how do we show something to make sure everybody's excited, first Mortal Kombat exclusively for next gen, but without giving away too much of the store, right? Without showing too many fatalities, too many of the you know, we want to save some surprises for people. But
I do feel bad that I was like, no one cares about like the story order. I'm like, there is definitely story there. And like, I do like,
well, there's lore.
Yeah. I like playing through the campaign. I think it's just more about, and I just wanted to talk about this because like, oh no, the story stuff of the trailer is cool. It's more like you can kind of hop in and learn pretty quickly what's going on in the story, but even though it is rather complex. And so I think maybe them putting the one there is trying to make that even more firm that this is a good starting spot.
Yeah.
And I think that tends to be a good move for a lot of games when they're coming into like a fully new generation of consoles of like saying, hey, this is just for the new gen. So people who only picked up the new gen and have never played these games before, here's your introduction to these characters, these people. You may not have the full context, but there's enough here for you to understand. So
who is your favorite Mortal Kombat character to
Kitana
play?
Always. Nice. I've just always played her forever, and then I know her combos and that's it.
So. Back when I did play, which again it's been a long time, but I was a Kung Lao guy.
Oh nice.
Yeah, just like to take that hat and slice people in half with it vertically down the center, like they're like you're unzipping their entire corporeal form.
Yep.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge game. I mean, the trailer, you know, the trailer just goes out to everybody. It's, you know, nobody has it exclusively. And so just, you know, it's wherever you happen to watch it. On IGN, the trailer has done 3.8 million views in 5 days, which is, which just for context, that puts it in the, like the 99th percentile of trailers. It's wild how much anticipation and hype for this is. And let's say, I feel very happy for Ed Boon and the NetherRealm team because that this was a big moment for them, this excellent trailer, and that everybody's excited because, of course, David, what's his face? The CEO of Discovery, HBO, whatever the hell the corporate is, that, you know, the dum-dums that are dropping the HBO name from HBO Max.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, let's take the one of the, like, most brand valuable associated with good quality names from the last 40 years of entertainment. Let's get rid of it. We don't need that.
It's
who is
so silly.
Oh, what's wrong? Like, executives aren't smart people, I think. Some of them I'm sure are, but clearly... Yeah. You can fail upwards enough to be able to make decisions like dropping the HBO
whoever
name.
Whoever decided that needs to send out some money to all HBO subscribers saying, sorry, we're taking away the HBO part. Here's some money.
Right.
I made a bad decision.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, but I'm so happy for Ed Boon and NetherRealm because that CEO guy, Lozloff, anyway, whatever. I don't have anything personally against him. I'm like sitting here trashing the guy, but he did. It's because I'm upset at him on behalf of the hundreds of people at NetherRealm who were just working so hard. And then on an earnings call, this CEO man just goes, oh, yeah, and we have Mortal Kombat 12 coming this dude.
Yeah.
So thankfully, the moment was, you know, temporarily ruined, but clearly it didn't dampen the enthusiasm too much once this literally sick trailer dropped.
Yeah, yeah.
So congrats to Ed Boon and the NetherRealm team. And I am looking forward to seeing actual gameplay. I want to see what Mortal Kombat looks like when we don't have to account for the Xbox One or the PS4.
Yep.
I want to see what kind of, how far the gore can get dialed up on next gen.
It's all the little bits. Just
yeah.
So many little
How many extra people chunks can we get on the screen one time?
Find the eyeballs on the floor. Glorious detail. The shine on the side of the eyeball, the way the sun hits it. That's what you'll see.
The HDR on that optic nerve is just out of this world, man. Oh, man. Yes. So Mortal Kombat 1, the big new game announcement this past week. Now, something very much unofficial, and it remains to be seen whether or not this is going to end up accurate, but there is a chance now that Alan Wake 2, which we've seen a couple times and have been eagerly awaiting, of course, Alan Wake being very closely associated with one of the great era of the Xbox 360. It was one of the awesome third-party exclusives from the 360 days. Alan Wake 2, not exclusive, but it's near and dear to Xbox gamers' hearts. And Alan Wake's voice actor, his name's Matthew Peretta, appeared on a podcast and said that Alan Wake 2 is, quote, supposed to come out in October. I've been working on it. That's supposed to come out in October. We're in the middle of working on it now. In fact, I was just in Finland last week. That's where the company's from, Remedy. They're amazing people. So we can't take this as confirmation.
Correct.
Because right? It's possible he has old or outdated information or things can change. Because until Remedy announces it, then it's not official. But given that he said, I was just in Finland last week and he just appeared on this podcast, this would seem like pretty current and up-to-date information, which, Miranda, would put Alan Wake 2, a game that we've been explicitly told by Sam Lake directly to us on IGN in our initial interview with him when this was first announced. It is a survival horror game, and it'd be pretty fitting if it comes out during Miranda's favorite time of the year, spooky season.
It's true. It would make a lot of sense, especially since they're going more for the horror aspect in this one. It would just align perfectly, and to me, it just makes the most sense. But also, it's like, whoops. That's not great.
Yeah, he's getting a call from somebody at Remedy saying, dude, don't. How about don't?
I mean, he's worked with him.
We love you, but don't.
Please don't. Please don't spoil that.
So what hype check? Let's check in here, Miranda. Where are you at? I know you live in Hyrule now.
My general enthusiasm and excitement for all things in life is diminished as I catch up on rest and sleep, and those are different things, I promise. But I am immensely excited, although I may not be able to show it exactly. Here's my excited. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm really excited.
The skeletons are dancing on your jacket.
Yeah, they're
dancing for you.
They're literally dancing. This is the skeleton dance jacket from Disney.
Wait, is that Haunted Mansion?
No, this is the old cartoon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so Skeleton Dance was a Disney cartoon.
Oh, nice.
This is an official one that I got from Disneyland.
Sweet.
Anyway, some nice lore about my jacket. Sorry if you're listening, you don't get to see the sweet jacket.
This is why you got to subscribe to us on YouTube. You get the video good stuff.
Yeah.
You get Red, our producer, just dropping in, just parachuting in all the most relevant things that we're talking about instantaneously. You get Miranda's skeleton jacket. You could put a piece of like painter's tape over where my face is on your screen.
And makes the
video version better.
No way.
Hype. So your hype level for Alan Wake.
Incredibly excited. Control is one of my favorite games ever. Like, I love it. And I love how they integrated Alan Wake into that very subtly and kind of like tying their stories together with like this new weird vibe that they have. And I like coming off of Control, it's like, Just top excitement for Alan Wake 2 to see what they do with it, especially since I did recently, like a year ago in some changes.
That counts.
Yeah, play Alan Wake for the first time and played some of like all the DLC stuff for Control. Yeah.
American Nightmare.
And also played some of American Nightmare as well. I didn't play through all of it because I was like, I'm okay here.
Yeah. Control, IGN's 2019 Game of the Year. Well earned. This studio... I mean, Remedy, they're so talented. Their resume is just incredible. I mean, their only miss is the first-person shooter that I guess I've already blocked out of my head that they did the campaign for.
Oh.
What the hell was the name of it again?
Crossfire X.
Thank you. Yeah, Smile Bit. I always confuse Smile Bit and Smile Gate. I can never keep track of which one's which. Anyway, that was basically... I'm going to go with Smile...
Gate?
Bit?
Smilegate.
See what this? You guys need to sort that out. Smilegate. Somebody like have a meeting and just pick like somebody needs to own the.
Smilebit did Jet Set Radio.
Okay.
Stuff. There were a Sega.
Okay. Smilegate. Anyway, Smilegate was the they did the multiplayer which flamed out real fast, and the campaign, sorry to say, by Remedy was not good. That's been their literal only misfire. In their entire history.
Yeah.
Max Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Max Payne 2, even better than Max Payne 1. Alan Wake. Control. And now we're coming up on Alan Wake 2. And yeah, these guys, I also love that this is like a smaller thing, but they've always used their own in-house technology, which, not that that like makes it better, but I think what I like is it just makes their games look and feel unique. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's a lot of Unreal Engine games, and understandably so. It's a great engine. It's a great tool set. It's really useful to developers. But there can be a bit of sometimes a sameness to the look and feel of those games. Not in any way that's like actively detracting from the experience, but I just like that the Northlight stuff, the Northlight tech that Remedy uses, first of all, it's done. Oh, Quantum Break was the one I left out, which I know some people would argue that was their miss.
I really
like that game.
I like that. Yeah.
The last boss fight is bad, and I've told them that. I've had a discussion with Remedy about that before, privately. But
now everyone knows.
Well, it's old news at this point. But you know, I really liked the rest of that game, including the TV episode interactions. I thought it was a big swing. It was a big, bold swing, and I really liked that game in the end.
This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlockd, and that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Yeah, their Northlight tech is really, really good at doing realistic faces. So they've always had like great, and they get great performances from people like Sean Ashmore here. And I'm blanking on the name of the actress from Control, but she was great as well.
Yeah, I don't remember her name off the top of my head either.
But anyway, they've done story-driven narrative single-player games really well for a long, long time, which are the games I like to play. Story-driven narrative action games, and those are increasingly rare these days in this, you know, this age of live service, long-tail multiplayer centric games. Remedy has continued to make the kind of games that I love. So
I just want to play Control again. Like I look at
we're watching footage of Control. It's really good. I mean, the telekinetic powers in that game are so well done. Like you feel so powerful, like ripping a chunk of concrete off the brutalist building wall and just hurling it at somebody. It is great.
The combat mechs is just so much fun. I will say one final thing for Alan Wake. I am ready for the return of Night Springs.
Yes.
I love Night Springs.
Yes.
If you guys don't know what that is, it's just basically an in-game kind of Easter egg where it's like this show called Night Springs that you can watch, and you can find like these different episodes of it. Control had its own version of that as well. And it's just such a fun, like, kind of nod to Twilight Zone about these like weird stories that are happening. And it's like, it's just so fun.
It's not a lake. It's an ocean. So the October thing, the October date for Alan Wake 2, probably correct. And if it is, we'll likely get an official confirmation of it pretty soon. I wouldn't be surprised if it shows up on Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest showcase or Microsoft's Xbox stage. And we get a release date for it there. But yeah, so this is now what inspired the rest of what is officially the headline topic this week, Miranda. So, you know, Mortal Kombat 1, September 19th. Alan Wake 2, probably in October. So I thought, well, wait a second, because we've been talking so much about, so far in 2023, about what Xbox's year looks like. Of course, Redfall missed. Starfield's now been pushed to September. Forza Motorsport, this probably the fall again. I will bet lunch that it's October or November. It's in one of those 2 months. But really, for this big first half with of course Diablo and Street Fighter and Star Wars Jedi Survivor, it's been a big first half. No matter what console you play your games on. But the second half, like the fall of 2023, we haven't really had much clarity on. But now it's starting to come, like it's May, it's starting to come into focus. So I thought we would run through what the fall is looking like so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this just makes sense too, that maybe publishers are wanting to wait to announce release dates till things get really locked in. Because obviously we've more than often than not have seen a lot of dates get pushed. And so maybe this is like the final, hey, are you sure? Like, are you really sure we can announce this? And so I think that might be a big point.
We are ready to ship a polished product.
Yeah. Can we put a date on it? Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, July for Xbox, very quiet at the moment. Now that's historically been the case. So I'm not expecting anything to just parachute into July and be like, hey, I'm a big game, I'm out in July. Probably not going to happen. That's your chance to catch up on the backlog from the first half of the year.
Our vacation time.
Yeah.
Time to go to sleep.
Yep. But then in August, I know August is still technically the summer, but in our world, in our video game world, August is sort of the unofficial start of the fall game season. It's kind of always has been, going all the way back to Dead Rising being out in August of 2006. You know, we've had a lot of big games over the years that come out in August, and that seems to be when things start to ramp up. So this year, here's everything I could find dates for, and it is starting to come together, the picture of what the fall is going to look like. Texas Chainsaw Massacre on August 18th. Now, if you haven't given that game any consideration yet, I don't blame you necessarily. They've put out some trailers, but I played this a year ago, or like close to a year ago, and it was, even though it was clearly rough and unfinished, like, it was fun. This is it's an asymmetrical multiplayer game. It is, it's 3v2? Yeah, it's 3v2. Wait, God, now it's been too long, I can't remember. Anyway, it's asymmetrical, I gotta look it up. My preview, so I previewed it for IGN, and it did over 1 million views, which surprised the heck out of me. I mean, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a known thing. It's a legendary horror film. But for a preview of the game to have done that well made me go, well, wait a second. I guess there are people out there that are really excited for this. So that's out in August. There's actually a technical test starting this weekend. And then, Yeah, 1.2 million views for that preview. So yeah. And it is from 8 months ago. So this, and it's 3v4.
Okay. Yeah, this is the studio that did Friday the 13th.
Yeah. So they're experienced at this.
Yeah. Did you know that their studio name is called Gun? Gun Interactive. I don't know. It's just really funny. It's like Gun, period. And like, but we're using chainsaws.
Yeah. No guns
funny.
In this.
It's funny.
So that's, you know, that's something to keep your eye on. Could be a fun multiplayer game with your friends. August 25th is Armored Core 6, which before you immediately kind of gloss over that and go, oh yeah, I guess I've heard about that, but whatever. That's From Software.
Mm-hmm.
That is obviously different team than the Elden Ring team, because they were, you know, they didn't just whip up Armored Core 6 in a year and a half. But you know, you're talking about From Software doing a mecha action game. Like, yeah, that's going to be one to pay attention to. In fact, our last trailer for that crushed as well. Like the interest is building, I think, in that one. I think people are starting to just become more aware that, oh, this is the next From Software game. Mm-hmm. Time to pay attention to this. Then in September 6th, of course, Starfield, which we're going to be seeing a lot of in 3 weeks from now.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll have seen a bunch of it at the Starfield Direct. October 13th, Lords of the Fallen, which I think I was waxing poetic about this on Unlocked maybe last week. It's Unreal Engine 5. It's got to be one of the first major Unreal Engine 5 games to be shipping, even though it's not shipping till October. I saw this at GDC as well in a meeting, and first of all, it's gorgeous. Like you've seen the Unreal Engine 5 tech demos. Well, seeing an actual game that has all the AI running and like what a real game is going to look like on UE5, it's extremely impressive. And this is, you know, again, talk about From Software. This is Lords of the Fallen was one of the better Souls-likes from, it's been a while, from back in like 2014. This is kind of the reboot of sorts. From what I could tell, they were making a lot of smart tweaks to the Souls-like formula and to what they did in the first game. So I think that game's going to be a big deal. That's out in October. And then probably either late October or early November, we're going to get the game that is rumored to be called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Mm-hmm.
The game sort of started life as a 2.5 standalone expansion thing, and it sounds like rumor has it that Activision's kind of invested more into it, and it's now spinning up into more of a full-blown experience. So new Call of Duty, as happens every year. So that's going to be end of October, beginning of November. And then that's the end of the for sure list. And I know technically Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is unannounced, doesn't have a release date, but come on. If that game doesn't release this year, I will print off my show notes and eat them on the show. That's how I think confident we can be that there's going to be a Call of Duty game,
you know,
this year.
A fair bet.
Yeah, it's a pretty safe bet that I will not be choking down four sheets of paper. That's how long the show notes are. I'm sure the paper would be fine. It would be more the ink.
The ink, yeah.
A little gross.
Make sure it's not non-toxic.
Anyway, and then kind of the... We've got a probably for Forza Motorsport, the next-gen reboot there. Not a guarantee for all... You know, like you said, Miranda, these studios now have to be sure when they put a date out and when they know they're ready to go. So... If, you know, maybe Forza will end up needing more time and they'll kick it into 2024. And if they do, well, that's fine. They haven't actually given us a release date yet. So it will be what it is. But I think the odds of that shipping this year are very, very high. And then the two games that I've personally been stoked about that I think you and a lot of people share the enthusiasm for, the two games that have been kind of the highest profile games that have been directly impacted by Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. These are Ukrainian developers. Stalker 2 and Replaced. So on the AAA scale and then on the indie side, on the opposite ends of the spectrum. But we've obviously seen plenty of trailers and footage for both of these at one or two, I think a couple of different Xbox showcases. And hopefully one or both of them is going to make it this year. But I guess with that ongoing, humanitarian situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will be, the game will come out when it can come out. We just want everybody to be safe.
Yeah.
It's making those games. So am I missing anything, Miranda?
Yeah, the one that I added to the list, which is supposed to come out this year, is Cyberpunk 2077's Phantom Liberty DLC, which I think, even though it's DLC, because of CD Projekt Red's like history with their expansions being like pretty large, at least with Witcher 3.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say of like, hey, that's substantial things to probably for us to play should that come out this year.
I think you're absolutely right. Not only for the reasons you just gave, but also you've got the fact of the matter is CD Projekt Red has done the work and they have won back the support of their community.
Yep.
And Cyberpunk is now a thing that is loved rather than a thing that is mocked and reviled as it was when it first came out. This is Cyberpunk's still one of the biggest games actively being played right now. So you're absolutely right that
he's our guide.
Phantom Liberty is I can only ever think of Metal Gear when I hear that name.
I do too, but also I was like, wait, is it really Phantom Liberty? Was that it? Right? Liberty City? No, that's another game. something Liberty. It's like, gosh, there's so many games that have used it that I just kind of get it conflated. But no, it's Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So
it's also entirely possible that there will be a substantial group of players that purchase the inevitable like full bundle and play Cyberpunk for the first time when this releases, because they, they sat it out when it had such a poor launch, and maybe they got busy with plenty of other great games and they just still haven't played Cyberpunk. And now when this comes out, this will remind them, oh yeah, they fixed it. And I heard it, my friend said it's great. And there's this big new DLC. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to buy this and play this now.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a second chance, for Cyberpunk.
I miss Night City. I started my second playthrough of Cyberpunk on Xbox.
Yeah.
And I want to go back so bad. There's so many games to play that are new. I'm like, no, Miranda, don't go back. I'm like, but what if I do?
How is it on Series X?
It's playing great. When I started it, granted, I did play after like the official Series X launch,
right,
and all the updates. My first playthrough was on PC, which I had like almost no issues. So I didn't experience the same frustration with that. But of course, I'm glad that it's not.
Because I've got a save file that's like, 15 hours in on PC, but it's like, I'm not saying it's not good looking on Xbox, but it's gorgeous on a PC. Like it's
really nice.
It is a game where if you can throw the hardware at it, it's real nice. It's like, it is very, very beautiful game.
My only problem with Cyberpunk is that if I start again, I really just want to start like a Cyberpunk journal, like my, like adventures in Night City, and just like make a little, it's like a little zine of just my experiences and cool stuff I find. But I'm like, no, I need to leave it behind and just play the game. But
I applaud the use of the term zine as a, I love that as a former magazine editor myself. It makes me happy.
I always wanted to write for a magazine.
It was, I'll tell you I tried to never take that for granted, because I remember one time, my family and I, we went on a trip to Hawaii, and like I had time to kill at the airport, and just this back when magazines were a thing and I worked on one, and just went over to like the airport newsstand, and it's an official Xbox magazine's there, and it's like my pictures, and it's like I'm like thousands of miles from home, and my name and picture are in this like, how cool is this?
It's so cool.
It was a wonderful privilege.
Yeah.
It really was. All right. So that's, so I think we've got, like, we're starting to get a reasonable picture of what the fall is going to look like for Xbox gamers. So again, just to go over it again real quick, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 3v2, asymmetrical multiplayer. I had a blast with it a long time ago, so it's only going to have polished up and gotten better. Armored Core 6, August 25th. Starfield being, of course, the big one, September 6th. Mortal Kombat 1 on September 19th, day before my birthday. Lords of the Fallen, October 13th. Alan Wake 2, possibly somewhere in October. And then probably Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, if it indeed ends up being called that. Likely late October, early November. Forza Motorsport. I think there's a pretty good chance that that lands in October or November. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty this fall. And then possibly, again, and I guess the thing I didn't mention, although all of you know by now anyway, Replaced and Stalker 2, if either of those lands this fall, those are Xbox exclusives. So those will be something for Xbox gamers. So I'm looking forward to both of those games big time. Like, Replaced looks... I love the retro sort of Blade Runner thing it's got going on from a like visual vibe. So, and then of course Stalker 2. I love first person shooters, and this is a single player narrative driven AAA first person shooter from a team that has an amazing track record. So we're talking about a really nice fall that's starting to come together for Xbox players. All right, let's see here. We've got just a few minutes left. You might be mad at me. I'm not going to do trivia this week.
I know.
Because it's
just me.
It's just you, even though you haven't been here the last like 3 or 4 weeks.
It's fine.
I feel kind of bad saying that, but I feel like we need at least a couple of contestants.
I agree, and I just feel bad because I know folks like trivia. Apologies that we've been a little slow on it, but obviously this year's been pretty chaotic on our end.
Although I do...
Life changes and...
Yeah, I do see on the YouTube comments that say like, oh, you guys never do trivia anymore. We do. It sometimes it'll get cut out of the video version because right. There's like a programming time for... It's a long story, but it's the bottom line is it sometimes gets cut out of the YouTube version, so you can always, if you do want to hear it, it's always on the audio version, which is always whatever the full unedited show is. All right, let's just do this real quick. We have we do this for 2 minutes.
Quick thoughts.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
So Take-Two Interactive had their earnings call, and they said something that made us go, wait a second. Might GTA 6 be coming out as soon as next year? So, in a press release issued alongside its yearly earnings report, Take-Two shared projections for the coming years, including a massive projection for fiscal years 2025 and 2026. And for context, fiscal 25 begins in April of 24. So it encompasses most of calendar 24. So they said, looking ahead, fiscal 2025 is a highly anticipated year for our company. For the last several years, we've been preparing our business to release an incredibly robust pipeline of projects that we believe will take our company to even greater levels of success. In fiscal 2025, so again, April 2024 onwards, we expect to enter this new era by launching several groundbreaking titles that we believe will set new standards in our industry and enable us to achieve over $8 billion in net bookings and over $1 billion in adjusted unrestricted operating cash flow, which I believe is long form for profit. We expect to sustain this momentum by delivering even higher levels of operating results in fiscal 2026 and beyond. So while Take-Two doesn't explicitly name Grand Theft Auto here, it's hard to imagine any other franchise doing this work for them. This is according to the IGN news team that's making the case here. For one, Take-Two's net bookings this past fiscal year reached $5.3 billion, a record annual high, blah, blah, blah. So to achieve a goal of $8 billion, Take-Two would need to make significant acquisitions or release nearly double the amount of games it historically has, or release at least one absolute behemoth of a game, such as Grand Theft Auto 6. Miranda, do you think that we will get to ringing in the new year, 2025, with Grand Theft Auto 6 on our Xbox Series X's?
As soon as he said 2K, I started laughing, so I'd say no. Like, I think it's a nice idea, but no. I don't think.
I know,
so.
Like, I tweeted this, and a lot of the comments, understandably, a lot of the replies were, well, you know, it's been 10 years already from GTA, since GTA 5, and you're not wrong, but it just seems like...
But it's only been 5 years since Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right, which the core brain trust is the same... It's the same core group of minds, mm-hmm. that develop it. You know, the Hauser, well, I guess there's one Hauser left at the company now, and the sort of senior staff that you're right, they work on one or the other. So yeah, that is the better thing to benchmark off of, is when Red Dead 2 came out, not when GTA 5 came out. So I'm with you. I think 2024 is too soon. If it shows up great, we know they're not going to ship it until it's ready to roll. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we've had public, like, they've delayed 4 and 5 after they gave release dates, mm-hmm. where they said, all right, we're out on this date, and then, nope, we're going to delay it. We need more time. So I have no doubt that they will take every precaution necessary to ensure that 6 is as polished and smooth as it can be. And I'm with you. I don't share the optimism that it's going to be out by the end of 2024. But if it happens, great. I'll be first in line to play it. All right. That will do it for Podcast Unlocked, episode 596. Miranda, anything you want to promote? I have a feeling I know what you'll say. Go ahead.
Please use our guides. Thank you so much. We've worked really, really hard to make sure that they are good quality guides that are all verified with our information. We do our own work to get all that sourced right, so that way you know that what you're getting from us is correct. So we also have one from Star Wars, which is really great, and of course a huge one for Tears of the Kingdom, and all the other games are coming out because we have no chill. So, yeah.
There's a lot in Star Wars to use a guide for. I mean, I've got 7... Stim packs right now, the health things that you get from BD, but the counter on the UI has a 0. It's a 2-digit counter, so I have 07, which means, and I think I'm like, feels like I'm starting to get towards the latter, like the stretch run of this game. So I have a feeling that I could have probably found a few more if I'd used the IGN wiki for it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And if you don't want to, that's okay too. But if you do use a guide, use ours. Thank you.
What she said. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at DMC_Ryan. I don't know what I'm working on there's too much every day. We're in a gloriously busy time. It is busy in the very best of ways. So just, you know, there's always something new and interesting on IGN.com every day. Stop by every day, make it part of your daily video game routine, and we'll be back with episode 597 this week. Miranda, thank you.
And thank you.
Super producer Red, thank you. And everybody watching and listening, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.